Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this Sunday, June 15th, 2025. It's summertime almost. It's felt like it. We've had some beautiful days here in Virginia. And we're here every evening every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I don't know where I am, Ed.
I know we talk a lot. I don't think we talk that much.
We do talk a lot. But not every evening, but every Sunday evening, we do have a program here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. And if we're not here, our friend Ray Powers makes sure we get on the air, and we're just really glad that he works behind the scenes making these things happen. So thanks for doing that, Ray. And we're going to pick up today after we talk a little bit about this ministry where we left off last week, Ed, and we talked about the Bride of Christ. Yes. And who that is. And we'll review that. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about the new heavens and the new earth. We'll review that. And then we're going to get into Revelation chapter 22.
Yeah, the last book of the Bible.
The last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Yeah. It's interesting. So before we do that, though, tell us a little bit about this ministry, would you?
Well, again, we're just a small little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, and we've been around since 2015, actually earlier, but the site we're at now is about 2015.
And let me just interrupt you. Yeah. On June the 10th, we celebrated. That was actually when we had first, the church was purchased as a gift for us.
Yeah.
On June 10th.
So 10 years.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, our services are on Wednesday evening at 7. We have a prayer time / Bible study time available via Zoom if you're interested. And then we have our church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, and then our worship hour is at 11. And that's kind of the main focus here physically. We have, you know, a lot of people have their own personal ministry where they do things online. And it's just a little small ministry, but it's amazing that a little ministry like this can reach across the world.
We're really grateful for the technology that we have through the website, through this particular avenue of New Visions Radio, of being able to reach people. And also, you know, we want to provide not just Bible studies for people to encouraging them to read their Bibles, but we want to make sure that everybody has a Bible.
Right.
So if you need a Bible, please contact us, and we'll try to ship you a Bible wherever you are in the world. We'll try to get that to you. And as far as our website, Ed, if somebody wants to contact you, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
And you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, you can reach us at office@prophecyhope.com. And also on the website, there are hundreds of sermons, and you can type in the search bar any particular topic. Now, of course, there are many topics we haven't covered, and if there's a topic you would like for us to cover, we will try to do that. Now, I will tell you, sometimes there are topics that there's just no clear, thus saith the Lord, and we just have to just take what the Scripture says.
Right.
And we just read what the Bible says, and we may not have an answer. We just say, well, this is all the Bible says about this particular topic.
Right.
And that does happen from time to time. And, you know, for those of you who don't know me or know anything about my background, from the background that I'm from, it seems like they always wanted to have an answer for everything. And even if they had to make it up, they would make up an answer. Yeah. And we don't want to do that here. No. We want to give you a Bible answer. And if there's no clear answer, we're going to tell you either we don't know or we haven't found that yet in Scripture.
The other thing, we try to speak the words on the page. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell you what other churches teach that are not according to God's word. We just simply want to share God's word with you and let you decide for yourself what you want to believe.
Amen. And you know, sometimes, Ed, the Bible doesn't always tell me what I want to hear.
Right.
I've had to make many changes in my life because of what the Bible says. And this hasn't always been easy.
Right.
It comes with a struggle. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've talked about that over and over again about the gospel and how Christ can help us through those struggles.
Right.
And that's why we're here, friends. We want to share with you what the Bible says and show you that there is hope, not only for the eternal future, but for today.
Yes, especially for today.
Yes. And that's the beauty of really knowing and understanding what the Bible says. So are there any other things we have to take care of here before we get started?
There's something coming up in September.
That's right. Yeah, there's we have a Bible series. Each year since 2012, this little ministry has done a Bible series. Sometimes it's based on prophecy. Sometimes it's just, usually there's always a little bit of a prophetic message in there. But this year we're going to focus on the end time message.
Right.
How the Bible has prepared people and tried to prepare people, not only for what's coming in their immediate future, but what's coming in their eternal future.
Right. It's basically be ready.
That's it.
And we are probably going to talk about that in Revelation 22, because it uses those words.
Oh, well, good. I'm looking forward to seeing that then. So that Bible series will be, this is 2025 when this broadcast is taking place. It will be September of this year, and in 2025, it starts September 1st. That's actually a holiday weekend. It's here in the United States. That's Labor Day.
You know, in the past, we've tried to accommodate for those things. In Virginia, whether it's hunting season.
Right.
Or it doesn't matter. If people want to come, they're going to come.
They're going to be there. That's correct. And, you know, the other thing that's nice about it is we live stream it. So if you want to see it as it's happening, you can go to the website, prophecyhope.com. And in the upper left corner, just like you would go for Sabbath school and for the worship service that we have, you can stream that live as well. And you will be able to click on that link and watch them as they occur. And they will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time each evening throughout that week of September 1st. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Sure.
So before we get started, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, we again thank you for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, to give us information about living our lives currently in this current world that we live in. Mm. And Father, that even with all the violence and disagreement and hate in the world right now, Father, that we have hope because of the promises of your word. So Father, as we open the book of Revelation, help us to see these promises of hope and help us to determine for ourselves in our own lives to be ready for when Christ comes again. Father, I ask that you give us wisdom and knowledge to understand the words on the page, and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So at last week, we talked about this bride of Christ, and there's a common misconception in Christianity about who that bride is.
Right.
And without stating what the common misconception is, can we just do a review of some of the things that we talked about last week and just see what the Bible says?
Sure. Let's just start with the first two verses of Revelation 21.
Okay.
This is the modern King. Actually, I have the King James open, so I'll read it from that. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this bride is the new Jerusalem, and it's going to be part of the new heavens and the new earth. It's coming down from God out of heaven.
Okay.
But in this verse, too, it doesn't say who her husband is.
Hmm.
And that's what you're referring to, a common misconception.
Right.
So we can find the answer to that in Revelation 21:9.
All right.
And it says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Ah.
Who's the Lamb?
The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great holy city, Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. So the bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem.
That's very clear from the, that's what verse 2 actually says.
Right.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's very clear.
So with this new heavens, the new earth, and the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, coming from God, it further gives a pretty detailed description of the new Jerusalem. But let's go to the last verse, verse 27 of Revelation 21.
Okay.
And this is what it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it, the new Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life."
Hmm.
So in order to be part of this, your name needs to be written in the book of life, the book of the Lamb's book of life.
Right. And we've talked about that in the past, about the book of life and the books and those things. So this is very contrary to what I was taught all of my life,
right,
to what you had learned all of your life, to what I would say the vast majority of the Christian church has learned.
Yes.
And I realize this can be, when you first read something that's this blatant, it can be a hard pill to swallow.
You know, a friend of mine, who actually don't communicate anymore because of some of the things I've been reading in the Bible.
Mm.
But I read these words to him. I showed him the words on the page. And his response was, "That's not right."
Because it doesn't.
Did I write these things?
No.
Did I change, rearrange the words on the page to make them say something that it doesn't say?
No.
See, people don't know these things because they simply don't read the Bible.
We allow the church to dictate doctrine, and really that's not the purpose of the church is to just have fellowship. That's really what it's there for.
And to point you to God and his son, Jesus Christ.
Right. And so what happens, though, is so many times a church will develop its own doctrine,
mm-hmm,
its own agenda, and things that maybe make people feel comfortable to bring them together. But really, what this fellowship, what this ministry is about, is just pointing to the words in the Bible and just accepting what it says.
Right.
It's just that clear. And it's not popular.
No.
It isn't popular. We get so much feedback and pushback from people. We've had people that have started coming. They might come and stay for a couple of Bible studies and then try to subvert what the scriptures are saying.
Right. Because it's different than what they're used to hearing,
sure,
or what they believe or what they may even teach or preach.
And I'm guilty of that myself.
Yeah.
You know, pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have decided as a ministry to say, let's just accept what the Bible says. I might not be comfortable with it, but right, I have to accept it. This is God's word. It's God's word.
You know, each person needs to choose for themselves whether or not they're going to study God's word to simply find out what it says. Many people study God's word to prove themselves right, to prove their church right, or to prove somebody else wrong.
Right.
But if you decide, I just want to know what it says, compare scripture to scripture, be honest about what the Bible is saying, and decide whether or not you want to follow it, even if it disagrees with what your church teaches, or your favorite pastor preaches, or your favorite YouTuber says.
Right.
No.
And that's what happens. So, and two, when you take a message like this, what we read there in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2 and 9 and verse 27, if you read this, it isn't going to be popular with people that you share it with.
No.
Very rarely will people say, "Oh, I see that." it's like the person that you're talking about. Well, that can't be right, or that isn't right. So the Bible is wrong? Is that what you're telling me? God's word?
Yeah, it's those are difficult situations to deal with because you thought you knew somebody that they really believed in the word of God, and then they simply say it's not right because they feel the church has taught something different and their church has the truth.
Right. And friends, this isn't the case with just this topic. There are many topics. For example, one of the first programs that we ever did on this broadcast was What Happens When We Die?
Right.
It's not a popular message because it isn't what the church traditionally teaches.
Right. Who's Jesus?
Yeah, the identity of God and his son Jesus. Not a popular message. Yeah. People want to believe what the church traditionally teaches. As far as Christ in you, so many people think it's another being instead of Jesus himself. Christ is in you. Yeah. And there are so many things. Which day is the Sabbath day? Are the Ten Commandments still intact?
What should you eat?
Yes, all of these things.
And people make excuse after excuse after excuse not to believe the words on the page.
And, you know, I have to admit, just so that you know, I did the same thing, but I wanted to do the will of God, so I had to change, and I couldn't do it in myself.
Right.
I had to claim the promise of the Bible, and I asked Christ to come into my heart and help me change.
Right.
That's how it happens.
That's the only way it can happen.
And that's another message that isn't popular.
Right.
There's just so many things, and I just really hope that this is striking you, the listener, because following God's word, it's not that difficult if we just accept it.
Right.
What makes it difficult is the pushback that we give. We make it difficult because, well, that's not what I'm used to doing, or that's not what I've been taught by my church.
Or people say, well, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be obedient because that's been done away with.
Yeah, it's so many things, and we're just taking the Bible at face value. And so we've talked about this bride and who the bride is. It's very clear in Scripture. And then, of course, we talked weeks ago about this new heavens and new earth, another message that isn't necessarily popular.
Right. Let's read a little bit more about it.
Okay.
In Revelation 22.
Okay, let's do that.
The first five verses tell us a little bit more about the new Jerusalem and the new heavens and the new earth.
Okay.
Do you want to read verses 1 through 5?
Sure. And I'm reading from the New King James. This is Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
So this is a description of the dwelling place of God.
It is. In
the New Jerusalem, where the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And in chapter 22, verse 4, it says, and they shall see his face.
Yeah, we'll see God. Yeah. So not only will we see the coming of Jesus Christ, which we know is literal and physical and visible, but we will see the face of his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that really the way that it was before sin?
Yeah.
Didn't Adam and Eve have a direct relationship with God?
Yeah. He would visit them in the cool of the evening.
Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Yeah. And there was no need before sin for mediation.
Right.
There was no need for an intercessor because they had a direct relationship with God. It's sin that separates us from God.
Right. In verse 3, it says, there shall be no more curse. The curse of sin will be gone. It'll be done away with.
You know, that's interesting because in Genesis chapter 3, let me see if I can find this real quick. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit, here we go, in chapter 3, verse...
So when they ate the fruit, they were actually being disobedient to God,
yes,
which is sin.
That's sin, transgression of God's law, right? So, but when we look here in verse 14, it says, so Jehovah God said to the serpent, because this is Genesis 3:14, because you have done this, in other words, he lied to Eve, he sinned by lying,
right?
It says, you are cursed more than all cattle. So the serpent was cursed, and then later on in the same chapter, we see that the earth was cursed, and I'm looking for that. It's right here in Genesis chapter 3. Oh, there it is, verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. So by cursing the ground, now the ground is going to bring forth vegetation that has thorns and thistles. And if the ground is cursed, it can only produce fruit that is not very good.
Right. All this was because Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived, but he knowingly disobeyed God.
He did.
And so this required the ground to be cursed.
And he suffers, and we are suffering the consequences of sin.
Right. So the curse will be no more. Satan will be no more. Sin will be no more. We will have a new heavens and a new earth.
Yeah. And what's beautiful, we've talked about this, but just to remind the listener that the when the new Jerusalem comes down to this earth and settles on this earth, there's this great battle that takes place after that.
Right.
And this is where the devil and his angels try to overtake that beautiful city.
Well, not only his angels, but all the wicked.
All of the wicked ones, too. That's right, because there's a second resurrection.
Right.
And they try to take that city, but God rains fire and brimstone from the heavens, and it destroys them.
Yeah.
Then he recreates, and that's what we're seeing here.
Right.
He recreates the earth to what he originally wanted it to be.
Right.
But now we're given a gift, really, that Adam and Eve didn't even have, because we have lived through that time period. We've been faithful in that sinful time period, and we're giving a gift that initially they weren't given. We'll be given immortality. God's going to give us deathlessness. We will never have to experience sin again.
You know, it's interesting, as you're talking, I'm trying to figure out what you were going to say. I was thinking, Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day, right?
Yes.
We're going to be able to see God create everything again.
Recreate it. Yeah. You know, I've thought that many times.
They weren't able to see that.
They weren't. And so what a faith builder that's going to be.
Yeah.
Because all of the things that he did there in the beginning, we'll watch the vegetation come back up in the earth and all of these things happen.
You know, in verse 4 of Revelation 22, it talks about that they shall see his face, talking about God's face. And then it says, his name shall be in their foreheads.
Mm.
Does that mean we're going to have a tattoo of God's name in our foreheads?
No, it's kind of like even the mark of the beast. You either receive the mark of the beast or the seal or mark of God.
Yeah. Your forehead is, especially your forehead is where the part of your brain behind your forehead is your frontal lobe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's known as the executive center, where you make choices and decisions. It just simply means that these people have made their decision to be obedient to God and to follow him because they love him, because he first loved us.
Yes.
That's what it's talking about. These are those that have made the choice in their life that I'm going to be obedient to God. because I know his way is right. I know he loves me and I love him.
Amen. And you know, this frontal lobe is something that we as human beings have that the animal kingdom doesn't have. It separates us. Animals are driven primarily by instinct. Mm-hmm. When winter time comes, here in Virginia, the birds fly south for the winter. And it's not because they say, well, it's about time for us to go. It's just something that God has put in them, where you and I, we can make plans for what we want to do. And so it's beautiful the way God has made man. Man is really the crowning point of all earthly creation. Mm-hmm. And that's why God gave to man and his wife dominion over this earth. He made this earth for humanity to live on it forever. And that's what we're talking about here in Revelation 22.
All right. Let's continue in Revelation 22. The next section I have titled in my Bible, the King James, is Jesus is coming.
Oh, okay. Mine says the time is near.
Okay. So let's go ahead and read the first 6 through 13, if you would, Mark.
Okay, all right. Now, mine separates at 6 through 11.
Okay, but that's fine too. Yeah.
All right. So it says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place.'"
So what is this talking about? The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done. Well, he's talking about John, who's received these visions,
right,
and has written these things down.
And God doesn't, the Bible in the Old Testament tells us that God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his servants, the prophets.
And some of these same things are in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
And Ezekiel.
And the
and Daniel.
Psalms. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how those people who lived in the Old Testament times had the same hope that we have.
Right.
So verse 7 says, and in this Bible, these are letters are in red. It says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Verse 8. Oh, go ahead.
That's kind of a warning.
Absolutely.
It says, "Behold, I come quickly." It says, it's telling us we need to be ready.
We do.
Yeah. Blessed is the one that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book, who follows the direction of God.
Now, before we go on, I think this is worth spending a little time on,
okay,
being ready.
Uh-huh.
"Behold, I am coming quickly." And then it says, "Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book." There is a place in the Bible where it talks about these ones who needed to be ready, and it was talking about oil. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, you're talking about Matthew chapter 25?
Yes. Can we just do a review of that? Because this is something that every Christian needs to pay attention to.
Okay. Do you want to read that parable then?
Sure.
1 through 13, it looks like in my Bible.
Okay. Matthew, what chapter was that? Chapter
25.
25. Okay, and this is about, I think it's about the 10 virgins, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so how far do you want me to read here? Through 13?
Yeah.
All right, so these are Jesus' words, and that's what we just read in Revelation chapter 22, mm-hmm, Jesus' words. So Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.
You know, these 10 virgins, who do they represent? What do they represent?
Well, we have people that it looks like are doing the will of God and people who are not doing the will of God.
Right. The 10 virgins, you know, a virgin in the Bible, a woman who's a virgin represents a pure church.
Okay, that's right.
And so 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It's talking about the church. There's some foolish churches.
Sure.
And some are wise, some are foolish. They took their lamps. The lamps represent the Word of God. Psalms 119 talks about, Thy Word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path.
Mm.
So they all had lamps. They all had the Word of God. They all had knowledge of what the Scriptures say. But the difference, and they all slumbered. They all slept.
Right.
Because the coming of the bridegroom was delayed. The coming of Christ is going to be delayed. And so the difference between them is that the foolish had oil with them. I mean, took no oil
right.
with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. So what does the oil represent?
Well, the oil is what keeps the light burning.
Yeah.
Right? So without oil, the light goes out.
Right. So it's the Spirit of God that influenced or inspired men to write His Word, the Bible. So the wise had this influence of God's Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ, influenced their life. They made changes in their life through the power of a living Christ.
So you have to have oil in your lamp to keep the light burning in your
yes.
heart, right?
The foolish, they had the Word of God, they knew about it, but they declined to experience a changed life. They declined Christ to work in them and the power of the Spirit of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to work in them.
Hmm.
And so when the bridegroom came after he tarried, they weren't ready.
Hmm. That's pretty amazing.
And we're talking about the church.
Right.
Even though they knew the Bible, they neglected or decided against making changes in their life to be obedient to God, to have a changed heart, a changed mind. And that makes them not ready for when Christ comes again.
This really shows the importance of just following the Word of God.
Yes.
Because had they listened, they would have been ready if they would have just followed the direction.
You know, God's Word tells us we need hope in our lives. We need the power of a living Christ to help us overcome sin. We need the power of the Spirit of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to empower us, to give us, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about when Christ comes again, that the dead in Christ will rise incorruptible.
Right.
That the saying is, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It goes on to say that the sting of death is, let's just go there.
Yeah.
I don't want to quote it wrong.
No, that's
1 Corinthians 15.
Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yeah, and it's
it actually begins, I believe, in verse 50.
Yeah, let's start in 50. Let me read that from the King James.
Sure.
It says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. It's talking about sinful flesh.
Yeah, neither does corruption inherit incorruption.
Right. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Talking about those who will be alive at Christ's coming. There are those who will be dead, which is considered asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought forth the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying, O death, where's thy sting? Where's the sting? Where's the sin that allows death to occur, that it's demands gone. Death to be occur? It's gone.
At this point, it's gone, yeah. Right?
These people have taken sin out of their lives through the power of a living Christ.
Amen.
There is now no justification for sin because they've been cleansed, they've been purified, they've been justified by the death of Christ, and they've been sanctified by his life that he wants to lift in them. And it says that this victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, and that's the thing, even before this, it talks about the last enemy being destroyed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what a powerful chapter this is, because listen to what this says, beginning in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, talking about in death.
Mm-hmm.
For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming.
Yes.
Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. In other words, Christ will reign until God has put all enemies under Christ's feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death.
Yes.
So death is destroyed. It's taken completely away. It says, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, in other words, all things are put under Christ, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted, or the exception. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Again, an unpopular message,
right?
Because it's showing this, that Christ is subject to the Father.
A term that 1 Corinthians 11 uses is headship.
Yes, that's right.
God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman.
Boy,
all unpopular.
Yeah, those are dirty words in these times that we live in, and that's the thing. This is what we were talking about at the outset of this program. Just by following the words that are on the page, it's things that in this world today, they are not popular. In the church today, they are not popular.
No.
These things have to be said. They have to be said. Even what we're talking about here in Revelation 22, the new heavens and the new earth, so many Christians talk about the new heavens, but they rarely talk about the earth being restored.
Right.
That this will be our eternal home. This is where we will reside.
Yes, and after the 1,000 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
And God will reside with us.
Yes.
Here.
We'll see his face.
Yeah.
It says that he and the Lamb will be the light.
It's very clear, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. But again, this isn't what we are traditionally taught in our churches.
Right.
So why is it, you know, the devil has caused so much confusion. Why do we make it so difficult just to follow the words on the page? I don't know. Is it just our sinful nature that we have? Selfishness?
I think each one has to decide. Do you love sin or do you love God, who empowers us to overcome sin through his Son, Jesus Christ?
That's what it boils down to. And so when we look at this, my Bible uses the heading where we've started reading, the time is near. Be ready, friends.
Right.
Get ready for this. It's coming. It's coming. And you know, how many times have we said this, Ed, that we don't know if it's coming in our lifetime or not, but why is it so important?
Because you don't know when you're going to take your last breath.
That's it. You know, how many times have you had maybe a loved one die and you say, I wish I would have told them A, B, C, or I wish I would have told them one last time that I love them, or whatever it is. Well, now it's too late. And if you're not ready now, it might be too late. And it just happens so quickly, you know, it can happen before you know it.
You know, let's go back to Matthew 24
okay.
for a minute. And
all right, I'm there. We were in Matthew 25 just a moment ago.
Right.
We read 1 through 13.
Can you read verses 36
Matthew
through
24?
38?
Okay, Matthew 24.
39.
Again. Okay, Jesus' words. I'm reading Matthew 24, 36 through 39. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
So, if you know the story of Noah and the flood, you'll understand that Noah was preaching the gospel as he was building the ark, and that really no one believed him.
That's true.
Once God had led all the animals onto the ark, Noah and his family, eight people out of everyone living, entered the ark, and the door was shut.
Yeah.
What did the rest of the people end up doing?
They were destroyed. They died in the flood.
But not when the door was shut. They kept on eating and drinking and giving in marriage.
That's true.
Because the flood didn't come until, seven or eight days later?
Right.
So what happened is the people didn't realize that their fate was already sealed when that door was shut.
Hmm. That's true. Yeah, in other words, there's going to be a time when the sealing of God's people occurs, when they are sealed. And once God's people are sealed, what does that mean? If Jesus is comparing the time of the end to Noah's day, it means that if God's people are sealed into salvation, that there are going to be people who are sealed outside of that door. Jesus is the door.
Yeah.
Jesus is the door.
Let's.
I see the wheels turning there, Ed. Where are we going?
In verse 43 of Matthew 24, it says, but know that this, that if the good men in the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 talks about Jesus coming as a thief in the night.
Hmm.
What this is talking about is, right now, Christ is our high priest. He's representing us in heaven. There is a judgment that is happening right now to determine who is safe to save, who is going to be obedient to God. The books are open. We read in Daniel chapter 7. The judgment has been set. And so they're looking at the record of our lives.
Right.
When that process is done, Christ is going to go before the Father and receive his bride, his kingdom. and then he's going to come in the clouds of glory. But there's a period of time before that happens. I don't know how long it is.
Right.
Once Christ's mediation in the heavenly sanctuary stops,
there's
we
no
find the words
hands.
In Revelation 22 will occur.
So,
verse 11.
Okay.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
Hmm.
Be ready.
Yes.
Because when Christ ends his mediation in the heavenly sanctuary, that final choice has been made by everyone.
In fact, the verse in Matthew 24, you read verse 43, the very next verse says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect."
Right.
Well, that's not just talking to people that aren't waiting for the coming of Christ. It's talking about those who are waiting.
Right.
He's coming at an hour we don't expect. We
right.
need to be ready at all
we
times.
We need to understand that there's a time where there's no changing your mind. There's no changing teams, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Either you're going to choose God and his Son, Jesus Christ, or you're going to choose to follow Satan and his evil ways.
So let's go back. And thank you for taking us to Matthew 24, because really this is something that each person needs to consider. Are we going to be wise or are we going to be foolish?
Right.
Are we going to have oil in our lamps or are we going to be begging others to give us oil?
Right.
And this isn't talking, friends, don't mistake this for being prepared and being a prepper and having all this food stuff. No.
It's talking about your heart.
That's it.
And your mind.
We need to be prepared mentally for and spiritually
yes.
for the coming of Christ.
To have a love for God and his Son because of what they've done for us. To understand that God's way is the best way. His commandments are part of his character.
Amen.
He gives us his commandments to make our lives better.
I don't know why. I guess we look at the commandments as restrictive, but how many times have we said on this program and even in sermons that, and even in Bible study during Sabbath school, that the commandments really give us a freedom, and they give us the freedom to live without being under law, because we're living within the law.
Right.
And if everybody just kept the commandments of God, just think of what the world would be like. There wouldn't be spouses cheating on each other. We wouldn't be lying. There wouldn't be stealing. There wouldn't be killing.
Right.
There wouldn't be these horrible transmitted diseases from adulterous affairs and things like that.
Right.
The world would just be a much better place. People would be listening to God and loving God and being worshiping on the Sabbath according to the commandments.
Right.
It would be a different world. Even with sin in the world, it would be a different world.
Yeah.
It would be so much better. So just something to think about. So let's go back. We read a couple of verses. Let's go back and we'll start in verse 6. Revelation 22, verse 6. It says, "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true.' And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.'" And then these are the verses you read. "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the holy into the city, it says. And verse 15, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you the things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Any comments there, Ed, about these texts?
When we look at verses 12 and actually 11 through 13, you know, this is Jesus saying there's a time coming. Be ready. Mm-hmm. Just like in Noah's day when the ark door was shut. He's saying, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. Mm-hmm. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. How we live our lives determine what reward we get.
Absolutely. The choices that we make.
Yeah. Then he goes on to say, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. Jesus is the beginning and the end of the gospel story. He's the beginning and end of the great plan of salvation. And part of that includes verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 14, I believe it's verse 12, says this. Here are the patience of the saints. Who are the saints? They're God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
You know, when we look at this text, you notice there that they, in verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned that they may have the right to the tree of life. That tree was in the garden.
Yes.
And after Adam and Eve broke God's commandment or broke his law, they lost their right to that tree.
Yes, they did.
God blocked it.
Yep.
So what is it that gives me a right to the tree of life? Obedience to God.
Right.
That gives me a right to that tree, keeping his commandments, not just nine of them, but all of them.
Right.
And how many times have I heard in my lifetime, oh, that's been done away with. We don't have to do that anymore. Right here in the last book of the Bible, warning us to be ready for the coming of Jesus, it says, keep the commandments of God.
Now, if you're trying to keep the commandments of God just to have a checklist so you'll be okay, you'll never be able to do it.
That's right.
You have to have a love for God and love for his word and love for his son and understand that the commandments of God are wonderful, beautiful things. They make your life better, and you'll desire to do those things.
Hmm.
Now in verse 17 of Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Of course, we know the bride is this new Jerusalem that's going to be adorned with in white, which is the righteousness of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
We find that in Revelation 19. And we know that the Spirit is referencing Jesus Christ. If we look at chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation and the seven churches, the message is given by Jesus Christ himself. At the end of each church message, it says, listen to what the Spirit's saying.
Right.
And that Spirit is Jesus Christ.
Listen to what Jesus says. That's what we need to do. So, Ed, we're almost out of time. And let's not finish this because
right.
I think that we need to spend a little more time. You know, it mentions here in verse 15, maybe next week we can talk about this. It talks about these people outside. And right. really, if you look at this, it deserves another look at the commandments, because that's what's happening here.
Right. They're breaking God's law.
They're breaking his law. So maybe we could just go through next week and go through each commandment and just look at why this is important, and then we can wrap up Revelation chapter 22 either next week or the following week.
Right. If you want to read ahead, go to Exodus chapter 20. You'll find the commandments of God.
There you go. And that gives you that's actually where the Ten Commandments are listed for the first time in the Bible.
Right.
And I will tell you, friends, you know, we're talking about following and reading the Bible, reading the words on the page. That's what changed my life, was reading those commandments. And I was really put on the spot in front of somebody who asked me a question, and I had to admit to him that I had been wrong all of my life mm-hmm. in what I thought the commandments said,
right.
what my church had taught me rather than what the Bible says.
Right.
So it can make a difference in your life. And we're out of time. It's hard to believe. But what a wonderful study. And we will pick up here. We might have to do this remotely because you're going to be taking a little trip.
About that.
Yeah, so we'll figure out a way. We've right. done it before. I'm sure we'll do it again. So Ed might not be here in the studio, but we'll see if we can make that work and come together in a week or so. But before we quit, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to just open your word and see the words on the page. And Father, I just pray a blessing upon those who are tuned in and listening, that they will just read the words and just not follow men, not follow any ministry or any church, but just follow you and your Son, Father. I just ask that you will help them to see these words, that it can make a huge difference in their life as it has made in ours. And Father, we just ask for a blessing to be upon them until we come together again. Please guide and direct us. Help us to open your word daily. And Father, help us to allow Christ into our hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thank you so much for leading the study. And my phone started buzzing during the prayer. I want to apologize for that. So, friends, I hope you'll tune in with us next week here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.